You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Okay, hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today's Monday, November 23rd, 2015, 2015. You're listening to episode 182. My name is Rob. Mr. Not Drinking Tonight is Jason. Yay. You're not drinking tonight, are you?
No, because you're not.
Because I'm not
you're
drinking.
You're a jerk.
I'm not a jerk. I'm just taking a month off.
I don't drink as much as you. So, like, I don't, like, not that you drink a lot. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't,
okay. Sorry. Let's make it clear.
I don't drink very often. So
you drink every other Tuesday when I'm here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Not even always that. Yeah. Sometimes we just drink soda. But right. I found some good beer that I only comes out once a year, the Shiner Cheer. And so I was like, oh, Rob, I got the Shiner Cheer. You're like, oh, I'm not drinking this month.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, screw
why didn't
you
say it like that?
That's what it sounded like to me when you said it, though.
I'm not drinking
this month.
I'm taking a month off
That literally is what I heard.
Alcoholic beverages.
I'm too good for that stuff.
No. No, don't get me wrong. I love beer. I just felt like... I didn't feel like it. Like, I needed to take a few days. Well, so Halloween was out of control. And then I said, let me take this week off because I drink a lot on Halloween. And so I took a week off. And then I had back pain and I went to the doctor. And I had some muscle relaxers. And the doctor's like, you probably shouldn't have any wine or beer while you're taking muscle relaxers. And I said, that's probably
so not hard liquor? You're like, all right.
All right. Whiskey shots every night. And then after that was over and I was off the medication, I was like, man, I feel great. I am sleeping great. I am well rested. I think I'm going to take the rest of this month off and not drink anything. And so I haven't. So
this week of Podcast BGG is sponsored by the Ad Council.
Yeah, it's evidence for me. So I do this now and then, right? Like once a year, I'll take a few weeks to a month off of drinking just to remind myself, just to like double sure that I don't have a problem, you know?
Right.
Like, I feel like that's a responsible thing to do.
Right.
You know?
That's fair. Yeah.
Again, not that I drink a lot, but, you know.
More than me. I bet you drink twice as much as I do, but that's not saying much since I rarely drink.
And I don't have kids.
Well, yeah, because by the time the kids go to bed, like, I don't feel like having a beer.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And even then, like, if I'm going to drink three nights a week, it'll be like I'll have one beer with dinner.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Beer with dinner. Yeah, I only do that if we go out.
Yeah.
Never have a beer with dinner.
Yeah.
No, there's anything wrong with that. I just don't.
Sure.
It's not, you know.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah. But it's good to remind, to you know, double check yourself, right? As an adult.
Sure. Not a habit. Right.
It's just to make sure that I don't have a problem, that I'm still healthy, and that I can still, you know, there's a history of addictive personalities in my family, you know. I'm not saying substance abusers are everywhere in the couch clan, but.
Your dad's pretty hard into the crack, though, right?
Well, you know.
that's not true. I mean, it could be. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying.
As far as I know, it's not true. Right. I figure
if it is, he's really good at hiding it.
Yeah, right. So. But anyway, so.
Yeah, good times. Well, that's awesome.
Public service announcement. Hey, kids, don't be an alcoholic.
Take a break.
Take a break. Hey, adults, take a
Walk
break now.
Get off.
Now.
All right. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed something on my drive over here today.
Oh, yeah?
It's
pitch black around my house?
Well, we talked about that last time. That guy who lives at the end of your street?
Yeah.
Is he setting up a freaking, the entire Santa's workshop in his yard?
It's bigger than Santa's workshop. We walked through it last night, actually. It's enormous. I bet he has 50 to 100 inflatables.
It's like an acre.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a full acre of inflatable crap.
And it's like
in
a whole path you can walk through. Like, he does it for the kids.
It's crazy.
So it is. Kids love it, though. So I'm thankful that he does that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but I am thankful that he does
like,
it.
I want to come out here with a BB gun and just pop them all.
You know what the problem was if you did that? He would catch you because he has security cameras all around his house.
For real?
For real.
Oh, man. See, this is the same guy when I came over to your house one night. Pulled out from his driveway into the street in front of me, and then his little boy jumped out of the car.
No, that was a neighbor.
He doesn't have kids.
Yeah,
okay.
That was just some stupid neighbor.
Okay, but it sent like his little 3-year-old boy running out into the street. Yeah, in front of traffic.
Yeah, that's not smart. But no, that guy, he's got a bunch of security cams around his house, like a lot of them. So, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but there's like a lot of them. Like, it's interesting though, because like people have had something bad happen before, like somebody's mail. Oh, our friend Troy, his mailbox got creamed by someone.
Yeah.
And then he was like, so he sends a message to the guy. He's like, hey, man, you see anything? And the guy's, because Troy actually lives, if you were at that guy's house and you look through that field of blow up dolls he's got there,
right?
Just on the other side is Troy's house.
Okay.
So, he was like, yeah, it was the white van. Here's a picture of it. I mean, so it's a little creepy though. I mean,
it's a little creepy. Yeah.
Like, I'm always afraid because if I speed through there, that he's going to be like, slow down, man.
Mr. Slingerland, we got to talk. Yeah.
He wouldn't do that. He would just post it on Facebook and be like, some jerk.
Oh, right.
So, because that's what Facebook is for. So,
right. At least in your neighborhood, it is. It's for humiliating your neighbors.
It is. But you know what? It can be useful because a couple days ago, I was in my yard and I had put my recyclables out and one of the bins was gone. It had been really windy that day. And I was like, crap, did it blow in the road and get like run over and the garbage truck just took it? Because like, you got to have two recycle bins, right? First of all, they expect you to sort out glass from everything else. Mm-hmm. Or no, paper and cardboard from everything else. And I was like, oh, man, I get home and the message on Facebook. It's like, hey, if anybody lost a green recycle bin, it's at my house. And I was the guy like two doors down. It had blown that far.
Wow.
So I was like, all right. So I went and got it back. So
did you guys ever get all of your electronic meters and things installed?
Yes, all their smart meters are installed. The neighborhood has not exploded yet.
Right. And you don't instantly have cancer.
Nope.
And your children are not like immediately bleeding from the ears.
No, I mean, grew a third eyeball on his forehead. But other, I mean, I think that's useful, right?
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I wish I had a third eyeball.
Back of your head would be better for it, I think.
You know, but so, whatever. Yeah. That's cool.
360 vision, it's a thing. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Because somebody had said something about growing a third arm, and I was like, I want to be clear that if somebody grows a third arm, you should be happy. That's pretty useful. You're going to have a hell of a time finding shirts, but it's going to be really useful.
Sure.
Yeah. Other than that.
That'd be great. I wish I had a third arm sprouting out of, like, between my shoulder blades.
Oh, like so in back?
Yeah, right. Yeah, in back.
That'd be kind of weird. That'd look weird. How would you sit comfortably ever?
It would have to be like, so it's like shoulder height, right? So in most chairs that you sit in, they only kind of come up to your mid-back.
That's true. You give yourself straight a hug over the back. A lot.
All the time. Free hugs. All the time.
Massage your own back.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That'd be great.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. This is productive. So let's talk about a topic.
What you been playing, Jason?
Oh, wait. Nothing.
Nothing?
So, no. Wait, no. I played, I played Dragon Slayer.
Dragon.
Dice game is so fun.
Good.
That's the one I played with Josh Mills and company. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun and I loved it a lot. And so I bought it.
Mm-hmm. No.
But it must have been like a deluxe edition or something because it had like a score tracker and all that jazz, and this does not have that. That's fine. Pen and paper works, you know.
Cool.
Like, it's funny, it doesn't bother me when a game does that, but if I do that in my game, I'd be like, oh.
Mm-hmm. So. Hey, is BGG Con coming up?
Yeah, this weekend, actually, I think.
So the weekend after the show posts or the weekend before the show posts?
I think the weekend that the show is posting.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
it'll go up on Sunday.
Yeah, so
when...
I think BGG Con is preceding that.
Okay. All right. Well, if you were at BGG Con, I hope you had a chance to find the Van Ryder Games booth and try out Sling Tycoon.
Oh, nice.
I'm sorry that I didn't know about that in advance. I mean, I knew about that in advance, but I was not aware of the timing, so I apologize for that. But yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. I know Paul Imboden from Split Second Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, who did Quicksilver. I don't know. For some reason, I forgot the name of their company for a second.
Okay.
He had asked me if I was going to be there on Facebook, but I am not. So. No.
Okay. Turns out I'm going to have 4 weeks of vacation next year, and my wife's only going to have two. And so we were talking today about what I'm going to spend my other 2 weeks on. Well, so I think I'm just going to start going on vacations without her. And I might go to BGG Con next year. I mean,
yeah.
Depends. Like, seriously, like, I would at least like to spend some of those vacation days on going to at least one extra con.
Nice. Well, let me know. Because if you actually go to another con, I would probably take time and go to another con too.
Yeah.
Just because, so, I mean, you know.
It's going
to
be.
My wife said to me, when's Origins? Are you going to Origins this year? And I was like,
I can if you want me to.
I mean, sure. I'm like, I said, I would be honest, I wasn't planning on it. I said, but I mean, I would.
Yeah.
I like seeing people.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the closest kind of than that. Quimby, go lay down, quit licking Rob.
Quimby really wants me to pet him.
Oh, yeah. So he does that thing with his nose. Yeah. He'll actually, if your hand is sitting down, he'll actually pick your hand up and flop it on his head. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why he's not bothering me at all. I don't know. Like,
well, you're old news. Guy. I'm the new exciting person here.
It's like, this guy comes to my house every the week and I never get to talk to him. So enough of that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about a topic. Like I said, like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, all right, fine. Hey, I'm just making small talk, man.
We had a lot of small talk.
Yeah.
This topic will basically be small talk like every other topic.
Okay.
So
what are we talking about?
This time we're going to talk about a topic. We're actually going to talk about a topic. Unlike last week when you said, well, let's talk about movement and then...
Well, we'll see.
We're going to try. Okay. So I want to talk about one more thing. It's something we hear as designers from publishers sometimes when they don't give you specific feedback to say, but like they'll say like, and I've heard this from more than one publisher.
Sure.
There's one publisher I've heard it from more than once.
Man, that guy.
That guy's a jerk. So he knows who he is. Mm-hmm. So, but he's not a jerk. He's a good guy. But anyways, where you hear that like, hey, I feel like it just needs one more thing. I don't know what it is, but it needs one more thing. And I've heard that from multiple publishers, especially like if you're like doing a simpler game, right? And they feel like it just needs one more layer, right? But I've also heard that on less simple games. I mean, that's, we did that with Ramblers, where we added one more thing and it turned out to not be a good thing, you know, for the newer players, especially. So there's a good and a bad to that, right?
Right.
And, can we talk about Epic Monster Tea Party?
Yeah, of course.
In regards to one more thing.
Yeah.
And then, okay. So you were, the Epic Monster Tea Party is a great example of this, right? Mm-hmm. You had one or more publishers say, I feel like this needs a little more, right? It needs something else. And then you had a publisher who was like, this is exactly what I want. And they maybe made some tweaks.
A minor, one minor tweak. Yeah.
But I wouldn't call that one more thing.
Yeah. Like,
by any means.
Right.
And that game, I still feel like that game is basically perfect. Like, I mean, it is what it is, right? It's not like, it's not a Euro. It's not a big crazy.
Sure.
But in its entirety, it is what it is, and it's perfect for what it is, right? I think, personally.
I do too, yeah. And I spent probably a year hearing from everybody, gosh, I feel like it needs just one more thing.
I said that to you at one point, too.
And every time somebody said that to me, I said, okay, well, what do you think that one more thing should be? And no one could ever tell me what that one more thing was. And it killed me. It killed me for a year just trying to, everyone's telling me it needs one more thing. And I just... It was killing me because I felt like I needed to figure out what that one more thing was so that I could put it in there and make all these people happy. Because if everyone's telling me the same thing, then gosh, I just, you know, there's got to be one thing that's missing. And I didn't feel that way, but I said, you know, I gotta listen to, because I'm getting the same feedback from everyone. So
including some real smart people.
Yeah. So it's got to be, I mean, they have to be telling me the truth. You know, it has to be real, something real to listen to.
Right.
And it killed me for a long time. And to the point where there were months, many months long stretches where I just gave up on the game.
Yep.
And just said, I don't know. I don't know what to do with it.
I'll just leave it on GameCrafter.
I guess I'm done with this. I'm going to move on. Yeah. So, and then in the end, it got to a point where I had so much heartache over it for so long that I said, I just disagree. Right. I disagree. I don't think it needs one more thing. I'm happy with it the way it is, and I like this game. And luckily, I did find a publisher who agreed with me on that. Yeah.
But you showed it to multiple publishers, right?
I did. Yeah.
And only one finally said, I get it. I see your vision.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of it, right? I mean, you finally found a publisher that saw the vision with what you wanted, and it clicked with them, right?
Yeah, right.
So that's not always bad. The one more thing is not always bad, right? I mean, there are times where a game truly does need just one more layer of complexity, right?
Yeah.
So I guess the interesting, or the kind of the interesting part, the tough part especially, is figuring out which games actually need that and which
what needs
games
it, what
don't,
doesn't,
right?
Because I remember you got some really good, a good comment from somebody in regards to Ramblers, and I don't recall who that was, but he said to you that you got to remember that everyone who tests your game and gives you feedback on your game wants to be, in some way, they want to be the guy who gave you the one great idea that solved every problems and took it from 99 to 100%.
Right.
And they all want to be that, and they all want to add one thing to it. And you know your game better than anyone else, and you need to make sure that, that what they want to add is in line. Well, I mean, you're the one that got the feedback.
Right.
So,
but I know what you mean. And I'm going to quote Mike Fitzgerald here.
Okay.
So he said, okay, I'm going to paraphrase Mike Fitzgerald.
Here. Okay.
He said, if you ever get feedback about your game that doesn't fall in line with the vision of your game, ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's overstating. And I think that's kind of,
it's an oversimplification.
Definitely. And I mean, also, it is.
Oh.
Oh.
Somebody's home.
The family's home. So just a second. Let me quick.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll just send them upstairs. So, as Mike Fitzgerald said, I mean, I think that's good advice. I think that that's dangerous advice because you can say, no, your ideas are bad. My ideas are best, right? And that's not what that. Maybe that's what he was saying, but that's not what he should be saying. What he's saying, what he should be saying is, hey, if you really, truly have a vision for a game and somebody says, like, Epic Monster Tea Party, they're like, listen, man, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have this be a game where they're drinking tea, but they're also, like, on a journey, and you need a board, and, like, they're walking and stuff, and you're like, no, it's not that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfectly reasonable.
Sure. Right. Yeah, so I think what he's saying is know what you want your game to be, and if someone is trying to turn it into a different game, and you don't want it to be that different game, then don't listen to that.
Right.
Yeah. Don't do it just because someone else says you should.
Right, and we've both experienced that with
absolutely
games. But the key is knowing the difference, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes somebody will say, hey, what if your game was like this? And it clicks and you're like, oh gosh, what if my game was like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Let's do that. And that doesn't happen very often, I would say. I mean, because you usually really know what you want your game to be when you start designing it. At least I know we're both kind of like that.
Yeah.
Some other people are kind of like, well, the game kind of does this, but I'm kind of needing some direction. And that's cool too. Like, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Sure.
So on the one more thing, idea of knowing if something is a good idea or a bad idea. So what do you think are some ways to know if the game actually needs one more thing? Any thoughts on that?
Okay, well, so the first number one thing is are people having fun with the game?
Yeah. As Matt Riddle would say, where's the fun?
Yeah, right, yeah.
So
with the game that people are playing right now, you know, is it a fun experience?
Right.
Is everyone having a good time? Is everyone feeling like they're making good choices while they're playing the game? Or whatever they're doing, they're engaged, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So is there ever a point that, so that's question number one. Question number two, is there ever a point in the game when you feel like there's a lull in that fun,
right,
or that fun pauses, or
a lack of decisions?
Yeah, right. So, and that's something that maybe the players might not necessarily be aware of as it's happening, but you as a designer sitting on the outside, probably having played the game a bunch of times and you know, and the more often you watch other people play your game, the more likely you are to see that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, so you can watch for that kind of thing where you can say, gosh, is there a hole here? Is there a gap in the player's experience where you might be able to fill that gap with adding one little extra thing?
Right.
Those are the things that I would start by looking out for.
Right. So my first piece of advice, which I actually thought you were going to say, but you didn't steal it, so way to go, is replayability.
Sure.
A game that needs one more thing many times is not replayable more than a few times. It gets boring. It gets old. A great game that's published, and I don't know who designed this, and some people really like this game, but I'm gonna just say it anyways. We played that game, Meow.
Yeah.
That is a game that desperately could use one more thing. Because the game is a known quantity, right? When you play it, you say Meow or you say not. You say Meow. That's what is your whole thing. Your whole decision process is, do I play a card that says meow or a card that says not meow? Depending on what's in my hand, I may not even have choices there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I guess you can try and social game people. And that does work. Like, the first time we played, I got you because I stuttered because I'm like, Rob will think I'm lying. And then you, and I wasn't, and you thought I did. But like, that worked once. After that,
one time, yeah.
It didn't work anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's just no. Some people would love to have a game that's that simple. Eric Handler thought it was like the best thing ever. I played it once. I'm glad I played it. I never want to play that game again ever.
See, I enjoyed playing that game while we were sitting around the table, but I think we played it 5 or 6 times in a matter of,
it plays so fast,
you know, 10 minutes. And I had fun when we were playing it at that time. But I have no interest in playing it again. I will not buy that game.
No.
You know, but I agree with you. If there was maybe one extra point of decision making or something, then maybe that could have been a more compelling experience to play more times.
Right.
You know, as it is, it's just kind of the thing where if I did own that, I would only ever play it again if I was with a group of people who had never played it before.
Right.
You know,
and then you'd play it once and they would like it. And maybe like a couple of them might want to play it again. But I bet a lot of them would be like, that was a fun experience.
Yeah. And we would do that. We'd play it 5 or 6 times in the course of 10 minutes. And then that would be the end of that.
Yep. So basically we played till everybody got the chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of quit.
Yeah. Right.
So,
So, I think replayability is a good factor to look at for that.
You know, the other thing is just, I kind of said this when you were saying it, but really lack of decision making, like, that's important, but I think more so is, the players don't get a chance to feel clever, right? Because that's somebody, I don't even remember who said that to us, but somebody did. They said, I like to design games that make players feel clever, right? Even if they're not, like, I like to have them have those moments where, like, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
And in defense of Meow, it actually has those moments where, I got you, Rob, but then it's over. And it's not fun anymore. That, you know, that part's not fun anymore because that happened.
Maybe we shouldn't necessarily say decision making, but player input would be the better way to phrase
that's
that.
That's better. Yeah. So, because, like, so let's say the game Meow. What if you always in your hand had 2 cards, a Meow and a not Meow, and you could choose which one to play, right? Guaranteed you had, or in the, maybe there's a third card that's something else, right? But you always have the choice of which one to play, and no one knows, but they know that there is, you know what I mean? They always know there's a chance you could play that.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that would make the game better. I'm saying that would make the game have more player input. Because most of the time in that game, I didn't have any choices. I just had all cards that said Meow, and I had to play them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's think about designs that we've worked on in the past and see and think about adding one more thing and then talk about whether that would improve it or not. Let's just pick one, something that we've done in the past.
So one design we've done before that one more thing would make better.
Well, where we could add one more thing and then say, and then would that improve it or not?
Okay.
So we could, one of my games, one of your games, either way.
I'm trying to think of a game off the top of my head.
Well, let's talk about Saloon Tycoon.
Okay.
Okay. So, Saloon Tycoon, it's an economic game and you're building things and you're earning money to buy stuff and attract people to get points. Okay. And you're trying to get different combinations of people together for score bonuses at the end of the game, right? Okay. What if the one more thing we were adding was something about role-playing as those characters, or you know, how about, what if we could add gunfights like in Ramblers?
So you could just steal from my game.
Well, it's something else that's Western. Okay, Western themed, you know. What if we could have two characters have a shootout in the game, and if you have somebody, a character at your saloon and a character at my saloon, and at some point you could call somebody out and you could roll dice and you could have a shootout, and whatever the result is, one of us is going to lose our character because they die.
Right.
Okay. Would that add anything to Saloon Tycoon?
No, that would make it bad.
Okay. Why?
Not as bad as adding role playing would be, but
well, yeah, that'd be terrible. But so why would that be bad?
Because it takes you out. It takes away the standard fun of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it also adds something that probably wouldn't happen very often in the game.
Sure. Because
you'd either have to add a ton of more characters, or have that be very rare.
Okay.
And why have extra components and extra rules for a rare thing that happens? Like that's
okay.
I always think that's bad if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something actually I did with Ramblers, was trying to, things that I had created, these rare situations that would happen. Like, why is that in there? That's stupid. Just get rid of it, dummy.
Yeah.
So,
so I think the first thing you said is the better one, where you say it distracts from the point of the game.
Yes.
I think that maybe is the biggest point of all for us to learn here, is that if adding that one more thing distracts you from the core goal, the core thrust, or the core feel of the game, then it was the wrong choice. And
right.
Adding one more thing is a bad idea. And in general, right. I mean, if adding one more thing is going to distract you from the point of your game, then you shouldn't add one more thing.
Right.
You should keep the focus on that.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So I can think of a real life example that happened with one of my games where I did add one more thing because somebody said you should do that. And
okay.
then it turned out that it ruined the game and made me not want to play it anymore. So, yeah, and that was Sandbox Showdown.
Oh, yeah.
Sandbox Showdown, I still, the original concept of that game, I still love it.
I do too, man.
Most of the playtesters loved it. The idea that you've got this grid, it's a two-player experience.
Area control.
Yeah, it's area control. Area control. One of the pieces of feedback I got was, hey, you should have a double-sided grid, like you should have a double-sided board, a bigger grid on the other side where you can do four players. I don't think that's a bad idea.
I think it's a terrible idea.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well,
I mean,
tell that to publishers who don't want to publish two-player games that are.
Yeah, I know.
Big.
I know. It's and that's me. I like two-player games. Right. So, I'm going to say you made it work.
Right.
But that's not the game that I want to play.
Right.
So,
but the feedback that a publisher gave me, and he was very, of course, this publisher who does not exist anymore, but shall remain nameless, was very adamant that the game needed hidden goals. Like that guy. Just loved hidden goals. It was his thing, right? It was his jam.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Hidden goals are neat. But like, I was against it for the game, but I really wanted to work with this publisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to shoehorn this in my game because darn it, he's smart and I want to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I played the game once and I thought, this game doesn't suck, but this isn't the game I want to play, right?
Yeah.
I bet I spent 40 hours.
Spent a lot of time on that.
Rebuilding that to play it one time. And then the publisher didn't exist anymore, so it didn't matter. But that to me, that's one of my white whale games that I feel like I should pick back up, but I also feel like a publisher will never publish because it's two player only. Now that said, I could possibly do four player teams where like you work together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's straying a little toward like smash up territory where you're combining different factions.
I'm not even saying that.
Oh, no.
Like, pure factions, but the idea that, like, I play something and you play something and we work together. That's okay. All, you know. But, yeah, I still think four-player area control can work. I don't think it's as... I mean, the game was elegant, right? Like, it was so, like, you just... You know, that game just worked. Once I got the initial feedback where I stripped out the whole buying system and it was just like, do this and do that. Like, take one action, play a guy, use an action. Like,
Simplified it
and
got right down to the core of the gameplay, basically.
Yeah.
You know, the core of putting your tiles down to control space and tiles working together and complementing each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to play that game now. I play tested that game more than any other game. Except for maybe Ramblers.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played that game so much. Because like on lunch, I would just test factions with people at work because I needed so badly to balance the factions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, I like that game.
Me too.
All right. Well, hey, so one more thing sucks. Let's never do it. We just gave two bad examples. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we beat that topic into the ground.
I think we did A-okay.
We talked about it for a while.
That's a true statement. Yeah, that's a true statement.
All right, so you get to pitch a game this week.
Okay.
Do you actually have a game to pitch?
I do. Yeah.
You got notes.
I always have notes. Man, I can't just do it off the top of my head like that. I know that's how you usually roll. You just make stuff up as you go. And if that's the point, then I'm happy to do that, but I can't.
No, I have notes for my next episode, too.
All right. I wanted to take a crack at another solo game.
Does it involve dropping things on a board or a grid?
No.
Good job. You're already winning.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're getting there. So, solo game. Yeah, I have a lot of personal hang-ups about solo games, but it's one of those things where I feel like if I try and do it, then I'll understand it better, and I'll...
You'll like it more?
I'll like it more. You know, I want to see it. Not only do I want to see it work, but I want to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
And the last time I did this was with my snowplow, Plow King. Plow King? What did I call that? I don't think I ever had a name. Snowplow.
I thought you called it Plow King.
No, Plow King is from Simpsons. Yeah. So it can't be Plow King. Whatever. Mr. Plow.
Get plowed.
Nope. That's... Well, all right. We'll call it that.
Lumberjackin.
Okay, so I thought, you know, let me try and do the solo game and try a different approach to it, you know, and I'm not sure that I got a super different approach, but I'm trying here. I also wanted to go with a little bit more interesting theme, because that was another thing that I thought was kind of dumb about the snowplow thing, is that snowplows are boring and dumb unless you're a five-year-old,
right?
So this is a game about, and you're going to love this, I'm going to probably mispronounce this. I think it's pronounced something like, I'm going to say Batariacht, something like that, which is Gaelic for stick fight.
Oh,
so okay. Irish stick fighting. Okay.
A solo game that's a fighting game?
Yeah. So that's you weird. Know, you're the fighter, the Irish lad who's got a shillelagh and is fighting off attackers is the idea.
I like shillelaghs.
I know. I like shillelaghs too. It's a good word. It's a cool thing. Okay.
Shillegaleg. That's pronounced
shillegaleg. That's it. Yeah. Shillegalah. That's right.
Shillegalah. Got to get the ah at the end, really.
Right.
Bring it up.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing the actual Gaelic term for this, but anyway. Okay. So, my first thought with that was that, you know, scaling difficulty in a solo game can be tough. So just the easy way to scale difficulty is easy is you're fighting one opponent, medium is you're fighting two opponents, hard is you're fighting three opponents.
Yep. Really, you know? Thought outside of the box in that one.
Well, you know, I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to get into this solo thing.
Game.
You know,
I want
to be able to do this in some good way. Okay.
Solo.
And another thing that I've tried in the past and haven't had a lot of luck with, so it's something that I want to try again, is the idea of no shuffling. Okay. You know, when your deck runs out, your deck runs out and the game ends. You know, I've tried that in a couple of things before and it never really quite clicked for me. So
you're just going to keep using it.
I want
to. No, that's a good idea.
I think it's something.
I totally understand.
Yeah. It's something that I want to try and explore to see if I can make it work. This is what we do, man. Right.
I know.
Okay. So there's your deck. Your deck is your fight deck or your stick fight deck, whatever. And then each opponent has their own deck. Okay. And that it's probably some random shuffle or. If there are 100 opponent cards, then in a one-player game, your opponent is going to have 65 of those 100 cards randomly dealt in there, whatever. I don't know.
Okay.
Actual card count in these decks is completely up in the air right now. I have no idea.
200.
Sure. Okay. So the goal is you want to make your opponent's deck run out before your deck runs out. Call it health, call it stamina, whatever, you know. Okay.
Sure.
Let's see. So, your deck, the cards in your deck can do a few different things. Play attacks. You're going to play defense cards. You're going to have cards that allow you to, regain discarded cards. You can shuffle or not necessarily shuffle, but reorganize your deck, the cards at the top of your deck to change what you're going to get. You can look at your opponent's deck so you can plan ahead for what they've got coming up, that kind of stuff, right? Deck manipulation and attacks and defenses. Okay. Your opponent's deck is going to be just simple three simple functions. It's going to have attacks, defenses, and delays. And I'll get to what a delay is here in a minute. Read from my notes. Attacks trigger when they are played and target a high, middle, or low location. Okay. You attack high, attack mid, attack low.
Okay.
Okay. It'd be simpler to just have two hit locations. I don't know. But right now I'm thinking high, middle, and low.
Okay.
Okay. They can be blocked by defense cards or have damage or the amount of damage they deal reduced by defense cards.
Uh-huh.
Any damage dealt equals cards from your draw deck that get discarded. Okay. When you hit an opponent, their draw deck drains. When an opponent hits you, though, depending on how hard the hit goes, sometimes when they hit you, you might have to discard cards, but always they're going to give you a stun card, okay? At any given time during the game, you cannot have more than 5 cards in your hand,
okay?
So if you get hit, you're going to get a stun card into your hand, and it's going to fill one of your 5 slots.
Okay.
All right, and that's going to limit what you can do on your next turn. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you can play a card, some kind of equipment card that allows you to carry 6 cards in your hand or 7 cards in your hand, whatever. That kind of stuff is variable. But basically, a stun card is going to fill one of those slots in your hand. It's going to reduce the number of options you have down the road. Okay. If you want to clear a stun card from your hand, you're going to have to discard 2 cards from your draw deck or play a card that allows you to clear a stun card. Okay.
Okay.
So let's talk about round structure. At the start of the first round of the game, you're going to draw as many cards to your hand as you wish and have slots to fill. So if you want to start the game by drawing 5 cards, you can certainly do that. You don't have to at the start of the game, though. I mean, probably you would, but maybe you don't want to drain your deck that quickly. Maybe the first 2 cards you get are great and you don't want to do anything else in that turn.
Okay.
So, but again, not to exceed 5 unless modified by some kind of equipment that you have. Then you can play 2 cards from your hand to the table. Okay, face up on the table. Mm-hmm. All right. These cards are going to be an attack. If it's an attack, you're going to play it out, and it's going to be attacking right away.
Okay.
If it's a defense, then it's basically a defense. It sits out there to defend against anything your opponent might attack you with. All right. And then other cards are, like I said, manipulation stuff.
Okay. Right.
Attacks trigger immediately if it okay, so you play whatever your cards are going to do. Then you flip two cards from your opponent's deck. If you get an attack card, their attack triggers right away and it attacks you. Now, that's why you have a defense card. If the defense can block it, great. If not, then it comes through and you take a stun card to your hand, or you take damage, whatever the card deals mm-hmm. out. Okay. If the opponent gets a defense card, that stays face up on the table, and it's going to defend against your next attack. It's only in there for one round.
But it's telegraphed. I mean, you know what's going to happen, right? So
exactly. Okay. Right. Okay. Because theoretically, if you're going to be fighting three people in a hard game, I want to give you, the player, some kind of an advantage here.
Right.
Is the idea.
You're a better fighter than they are. There's just more of them than you.
Right. That's the idea. But if you get a delay card changes things up. So a delay, it comes out there face up, and then what you're immediately going to do is you're going to take another card off the attacker's deck and put that face down.
Okay.
Okay, and that's going to be revealed later. So that's basically something that's going to happen. It's going to trigger, and you don't have any warning about what it's going to be. Okay.
Okay.
So then the opponent's turn ends and the round ends. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Start of the next round and every round after that. You start by clearing any defense cards that you have in play to your discard. Okay.
Okay.
So any defense cards that didn't get used up, go away. That weren't already used up, go away. Okay. Then you reveal the opponent's face down delay card if there was one. Okay. If it's an attack, that it triggers right away and the attack hits you for whatever. You might have equipment or defense cards that stay out there for longer than just one turn. You know, lots of different card types that can try and combat sort of that stuff.
Right.
And delay cards will likely be pretty rare. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not going to be a ton of them.
They sound
there.
Pretty terrible. So.
Yeah. So if it's an attack right away, if it's a defense card, you shuffle it back into their draw deck. If it's another delay, then you draw another card face down and just the delay continues.
Okay.
Okay.
So with the delay, what specifically triggers a delay?
It's at the start of the round before you can do anything and after you've cleared your defenses. It's kind of a way for him to kind of hold back and wait for you to make a move is kind of the right. idea. It's basically to make to put some unpredictability into what you're seeing. Cause normally you can see everything that's coming
right,
at you,
but that makes it a little harder. Yeah. So one just quick thought
sure.
would be, what if the delays had different triggers? Like what if one was the start of your next turn, but one was like next time you land an attack.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Cause then you can be like, okay, this says if I use a power attack card, then mm-hmm. He's going to use his delay. And maybe that would be like put two cards face down. Right. Cause
sure.
you can control it.
Sure.
So then you're like, oh, I really want to use this card, but I need to try and strategize so I don't get my butt kicked when I use the card.
Yeah.
So
that's a great idea. Absolutely.
Ta-da.
Okay. Okay, so you deal with all your delays and that kind of stuff. Next, if you have more than five cards in your hand, you have to discard down to five. So you might have gotten a bunch of stun cards, and if you now have seven or eight cards in your hand, you got to discard down to no more than five. But you can't discard stun cards at this point, okay? Because they have to affect you for your next round, okay? Then you take your normal turn. You drop to five at the most, or whatever your hand limit is. You play two cards, and you take your turn. After you've taken your turn, then you can discard two from your draw deck to get rid of a stun card.
Okay.
Okay. And then your opponent takes his turn as usual and revealing two cards and away you go. And you keep going until somebody runs out of cards, basically. I imagine I wouldn't want this to be the kind of game that takes even a half an hour to play. I would think that a simple one-on-one fight would probably take you 10 to 15 minutes at the most.
That sounds like a good time for a
That's
game.
That's what
like
I was
this.
Thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's a simple back and forth thing. Maybe can I beat the random draw the random shuffle of the deck? Yeah, that kind of thing. Kind of a simple little challenge. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Now maybe that's something that needs one more thing. I don't know.
Maybe the delay thing was one more thing. Ta-da.
It's a pretty good one
you
more
made
thing.
The game. It's done.
Yeah. But I think that there's a lot of opportunities in there for things like that, for interesting right. card text and card powers, mm-hmm. Different. It's some pretty simple mechanically. There's a turn order that you'd have to follow pretty strictly for it to work. But as long as you have reference material for that, I think that'd be
right.
easy to do.
Yep. Because it's just one person, it should make it easy to do. Cause
yeah.
you're not worried about somebody jumping the gun and doing their turn before you get the thing, you know, so.
Yeah. And, you know, and it being themed after, you know, an Irish martial art, I think there's a lot of opportunity for cool art and cool text and cool flavor in there that is out of the ordinary, you know, that kind of thing. Because everyone always sees samurai stuff and, you know, and gunslinger stuff and on and on and on. But I don't think I've ever seen the game about Irish stick fighting.
I do not either. And I think that's cool because it's different, you know?
Yeah. So that was...
Different is cool.
That was the idea.
I like when things are different and cool.
Yeah.
Not when they're different and not cool, because that's not good.
Well, it's not as good as being cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Being different's okay, but not if it's not cool, then what you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So, I started by mentioning I don't know about deck size. Maybe each of you has just a 52-card deck. And... you start with 72 cards at the each character, each participant in the game has 72 cards and you discard 20, shuffle it and discard 20 at random and away you go, you know? And then you don't necessarily know how many defense cards, how many attack cards, how many delay cards are going to be in each deck at each time, you know?
And that's cool too, because by having that, randomness to it, it makes it a little more, you know, a little harder to predict.
Right. Yeah. So. And then you'd have, of course, you know, just some extra stun cards on the side. There's going to be ways that you can put deck cards back into your draw deck. But I talked about that already. You know, you can and reorganize top few cards in your deck so you know what's coming up and so on. Yeah.
Excellent.
What you looking at there?
Some comments.
Okay. Let's hear them.
Gnome School said, I wouldn't call it a mess. I don't know what he's talking about. So something we talked about last time, Gnome School wouldn't call it a mess. He said, at least it was very digital. Gnome School bringing it.
It was a digital mess.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of which, have you ever tried digital ways to play test your prototype, such as a tabletop simulator? I like to do that to get a feel for the game before the first test with other players. So I'm just playing turns alone, simulating different players. I think that helps recognizing some rough flaws in the beginning without printing it. I've never tried that. I don't think you have either.
I've not. I'm insanely curious about it. I know that there's all kinds of tabletop. Well, I don't know all kinds, but there are several different pieces of software out there that offer tabletop simulations. I don't know what is involved in doing that because I think playing it solo against computer controlled opponents would be hard because then you'd have to program the artificial intelligence into it, right? So maybe he's just saying you put the components in there and then you just take all the turns as individual players. In which case I'm more comfortable just printing out components and printing and cutting stuff.
And I've said this before, but I have a really hard time
solo playtesting.
I do too.
Like I have done it and I will continue to do it, but it's difficult and I feel like I don't really learn a lot from it.
And I feel like I actually kind of do that in my head now. Like I'm getting better about thinking like, oh gosh, if that rule says that, here's how they're going to break it. Okay, change that rule. Like the game I'm going to pitch next week, there's several times I had to stop myself and say, dummy, you can't do that. Like you have to do this. So I felt good about getting better at that, you know? So I've got some emails here from one guy, Justin, here's the deal, dude. I'm sorry. So, okay. So here's the conversation that we had. And then I'll read his email. I get an email from this says, hey jerks, why didn't you read my email? Just kidding. I'm guessing it got lost or something. Yeah. Or something. I replied pretty quickly. Whoops. Totally thought we did. Thanks for calling us out. That helps me catch the stuff we missed. And then he replied, now I'm worried that I might have spaced out and missed it. Let me re-listen to some recent episodes. Hey, thanks for the extra listens, bro.
Yeah.
He comes back. I skimmed through all the recent episodes, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't read. I did send it right before Grand Con, so it was pretty terrible timing. Yeah, dude, your fault. Also, another thought I had while listening to podcasts, you guys should remember that Marrakesh is the new zombies. That would make a pretty good game title. Marrakesh is the new zombies.
Yeah.
So here's his original email. Hey, Jason and Rob, what happened to that airship crashing game? I heard the song The Great Race by Professor Elemental recently, and it reminded me of the game Professor Elemental also happens to star in his own board game, Stuff and Nonsense, the inevitable aftermath of Professor Elemental's imaginary polar expedition. Maybe you could work with the designer James Ernest to make your game as a sequel. Also, you should make the crew a type of airship piece so that players can jettison them to save weight.
Yeah.
Those are great comments. Yeah. I love the airship crashing game. Rob hated it for some reason. Because Rob hates everything that's good.
Man, I tried real hard on that one. Did we play that 3 times? At least twice. I think we
it had
three
some
times.
Problems, but it was fun. But it had some problems.
It had so many problems. Yeah. it had so many problems.
Yeah, so
I think it's still a really cool theme and a cool idea. But what I put together was terrible. It was terrible. I tried real hard on that, and it was bad. So that's not something I'm working on.
So yeah, sorry, Justin.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Professor Elemental.
Sorry.
So the last comment we have, Len. Buddy, pal, man, you called us. You called us after drinking, and with a voicemail. And I don't know if it's because you were wasted or because you were calling from the inside of a Doritos bag, but I have no idea what you were saying, and neither did Google. I'm really sorry. Like, it kept breaking up. Also, you were slurring your speech pretty bad, so those two combined really didn't help. I think for the trifecta, you could have been running when you called us. Mm-hmm. So
outside in a windstorm?
Yes. Or even in the Doritos bag. You know,
They're
also good. So So I'm really sorry, man. But those are like literally unintelligible and like I can't tell what's happening in them. So if you want to call back from a good phone where I can hear you, by all means, I'll gladly play it. But I was bummed. I saw you left a voicemail. We hadn't had a voicemail. And I was like, all right. And then I was like, oh, Lord, what's happening here?
I think he tweeted at us something about.
He did. So that's how I knew. So I was okay. Man. All right. I think that wraps us up. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done this on the website yet. I need to get into PayPal and do this, but. I'm going to put a special out there for Water Balloon Washout for the holidays.
Oh, hey, good idea.
So, $20, 2 copies, no shipping. So, literally $5 more than the normal price, and you still get both copies shipped to your door. That's pretty awesome. You should be excited about that.
So, that's $5 than the normal price for one copy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So normally it's $15, no shipping for one copy. I'm going to do $20, no shipping for 2 copies. Because I just love you guys and I want to be nice. And
nice.
We're going to call that an inventory reduction sale. I've sold quite a few copies, a couple, maybe 300 copies or so, I think. And I'm really happy with that, but I'd like to sell some more and make my house be less full of them.
Sure.
So, great. Yeah. So anyways, check that out. It'll be on our website.
Yeah. Buildinggamepodcast.com.
Yep.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
And now do your spiel.
Okay, I will. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerlin. I am @poorly_designed, and I know I haven't been on Twitter in like a month, but I'll get back on there soon, I promise, probably in December. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. Also on the website, you can find a link to a couple of my games that you can buy in GameCrafter, which are the Rumplebum Academy for Bug-Based Baking, and Finish It, the Outrageous Storytelling Party Game. Also, make great stocking stuffers, let me tell you.
True story.
Yeah. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher, and tweet horrible rumors about us using the hashtag BTGRumors, and just tell the filthiest, dirtiest lies, and we'll all laugh together. And come back next week when we do this again for whatever stupid reason. I don't know. What are we doing, man? What are we doing?
I'm not sure. Good
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
I'll schedule.
So, Quimby, go lay down.
I don't know why.
Dog
he's
ever.
Super into me right now.
He's super into people.
Yeah.
We don't ever talk to him. We just leave him locked in a cell by himself. That's not totally untrue, but yeah. No, he's just very needy. He's a very needy dog.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Let's record a podcast.
Okay. Woo! Let's do that. You have a bottle opener, but nothing to open.
Yep. makes me sad because you don't want to drink beer.
Feel free, man.
I don't drink alone. That's weird.
I'm here. You're not alone.
But I'm the only one drinking.
Eh, whatever. I can open a bottle and just let it sit there.